It's still the best All-Star game, period. And I'm not being biased here, Mark. It is the one that is really the only competitive version of where we honor the best and brightest of the first half in our respective sports here. Did get the announcement of the starters and the reserves over the weekend. No shock here that we have the Braves, the Dodgers, and the Phillies leading the way. Five players each will represent those squads in the Midsummer Classic. That is tied for the most selections of any club here in 2026. Also, no shock here, Shohei Ohtani, now a six-time All-Star, top overall vote getter for the first time in his career, but was only elected as a designated hitter, even after the sensational start to his season on the mound, kind of a unique spot. But I'm sure the Dodger brass is completely fine with him not having to throw any extra pitches there in Philadelphia. We just talked some Junior Caminero with Will Hill, 11 homers in his last 12 games, already committed to the Home Run Derby. He is going to be the first Tampa Bay Rays player in franchise history to start two All-Star games. And speaking of starters, we have got upwards of 26 first-time All-Stars on this roster. Shea Langeliers, Ernie Clement, a couple of the first-timers on there on the American League side. Drake Baldwin is in there as well as the backstop for the Atlanta Braves. Brandon Marsh getting the start for the first time in his career as a starter there for the senior circuit side. So just a really cool thing every time we get to hear it. And more importantly, Mark, I very much love that the players, when you're elected by your peers, it just means that much more of the respect of what you've accomplished to that point. And then I think of John Schneider and Dave Roberts, who will manage the American League and National League respectively. This is the easiest lineup card they'll fill out every single year. It's just a matter of getting an idea of who the starters are going to be, trying to make this, I guess it is an entertainment show, maybe getting some of the big bats against the power pitchers early in the ball game. But I think we're in for another dandy in Philadelphia as Citizens Bank Park will be the host of the Midsummer Classic this year.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I think at the start of it, you know, it's the best version of an All-Star game that we get. It's a celebration of the sport. Guys actually care a little bit. I understand there's restrictions in today's day and age, but, you know, you'll see in the stars on display. And, you know, Jensen, you can speak to that fact as being a former player where, you know, when you are elected by your peers, it means something that much greater than anything else, right? So the respect that you have around the game. I love the All-Star game, even though it was different 20, 30 years ago, Jensen, because, you know, baseball didn't have the same amount of coverage that it does now. So you didn't get to see every single player every single night. Now you get everything all the time, right? So, but it's awesome, you know, and I think the thing that makes it special is I think baseball puts it in the right perspective. We're here to celebrate a great sport and put our stars on display. And that is exactly what they go out there and do. And I think if you're a big time baseball fan, you look for a little bit of a kind of a take a deep breath to a long MLB season and you get to watch the fun and the festivities, the red carpet, the Home Run Derby, you get the futures game, and then obviously you get the Midsummer Classic.
We'll also have the draft over the weekend, too. Yeah, so the amateur player draft. So a good time for Major League Baseball as we will head into a very celebratory week next week. First things first, we have the final week of the regular season in the first half beginning today. And we do have one day game. It is the Phillies and the Royals finishing up that weird series because of the off day in between with the World Cup match there at Arrowhead. So Sanchez and Cameron will be the matchup here. Will Hill talking about liking that first five under 4.5. As I look at some of the metrics here, it has been a really tough year, not only for the Kansas City Royals, but for their pitching in general. Two leans for me in this game. Nothing official yet. I do want to see where lineups are before we lock in a potential play. I would look at the under. If you can find an 8.5, I know there's some eights out there. Circa has it at minus $1.05 to the under. I would love a little half run cushion there if I could get it. But I would also look at the Phillies potentially on the run line here. Shop around for your best price, minus $1.20 at Circa. But I think the Phillies continue their hot hitting ways and take advantage of a beleaguered Kansas City Royals pitching staff. Of course, the marquee series of this week, at least starting tonight, will be the battle for first place in the American League East. It is the Yankees headed to Tropicana Field to take on the Rays. Moose, I know you got a little look at this matchup, and hey, the Rays haven't lost a home game yet this year against an American League East opponent. Does that streak continue tonight in your eyes?
I think it does. Yeah. I mean, and you know, I'm going to take off the Yankee underwear and put down the Kool-Aid here. The Yankees aren't a particularly good baseball team, and you know, Schlittler's been really good. His ERA has ballooned. At one point in time, it was down to 1.61. It's now up to 2.08. Last start was not particularly good. Gave up three home runs in the top half of the first inning at home. The start previous to that up at Fenway Park, he was done in by the Yankee defense, which was terrible behind him. And listen, I think he'll, you know, learn. I think last start, he was trying to work in more of the off-speed pitches. I think he'll go back to the bread and butter tonight down in Tampa, which is going to be the velocity, throwing high in the strike zone, being competitive in that strike zone, challenging hitters. I just don't know exactly what you're going to get offensively from the Yankees. And the vibe right now is probably next to nothing. I mean, and that's the issue that you have when you look at this lineup. And confidence is king, and hitters can build off one another. And I think you're looking at a lot of guys in that lineup right now, Jensen, that are pressing a little bit, right? A little bit of an injury scare when you're looking at Jazz Chisholm. Rice has cooled off. Goldschmidt has cooled off. They get little to no production from behind home plate with whoever is catching. Ryan McMahon. I'm going to lean on the team that's playing the better baseball right now. They've been fantastic at home. We talked about it earlier in the show, 31-12. When you look at the Tampa Bay Rays, a pitching matchup that you would think favors the Yankees tonight. And I think Schlittler will be better tonight. I think he'll probably be really, really good. I just don't really trust the Yankees to generate much offense. Therefore, I'm going to take the Tampa Bay Rays tonight and lay the 113.
All right. I like that angle. I'm interested to see kind of where the bounce back potentially could be for Aaron Boone's group. You have your ace on the hill, but as you said, it's been sputtering here as of late for Cam Schlittler. Can the Yankees finally start to turn things around? They need some momentum headed into the finish of the first half. Momentum has clearly been on the side of the Houston Astros as of late, and they continue to kind of fight in a wide open American League West. They are in the nation's capital to take on maybe one of the great blind bets of the year. Mark, if I told you that the Washington Nationals are 17 games to the over as a home team, I don't even think I need to give you much more reasoning, let alone tell you who's on the hill today for either side. The Nats are 30-13-2. That's almost a 70% to the over, and they are covering the over by 2.5 runs on average. It is good hitting weather in Washington, D.C., and we got good hitting on the mound. Miles Michaelis will take the mound for the Nationals. The Astros will counter with Mike Burrows, and I'm actually thinking that the sneaky play here may be on the Astros money line. You're almost getting even money at DraftKings. You are getting plus $1.06 for bettors at Circa. I just think this is a little more one-sided, at least in the matchup today. I would rather back the Astro offense against Miles Michaelis, knowing there's not a ton of swing and miss that Michaelis is going to generate. So that would be an avenue that I'd want to travel. Maybe want to wait and see what some lineups are just in case. But I would imagine it's the A side. And listen, hey, the Nats have had one of the great scoring offenses. They've not been able to prevent runs to save their life. So I think we're in for one of those scoring affairs here in the nation's capital. But more so, I do like the opportunity to back Houston on the money line later on tonight. Another team there that we're talking about, the National League East, the Atlanta Braves. Boy, they're going to try and salvage a series split against the New York Mets. That one later on at 7:15 p.m. Eastern time, Truist Park, going to host a pitching matchup between the beleaguered Freddy Peralta and the resurgent Reynaldo Lopez. Any spot that you like in this NL East matchup later tonight?
Yeah, I would take the Braves to bounce back with Lopez opening the game up for Atlanta. Peralta's not being particularly good. I mean, Freddy Peralta was brought in from Milwaukee. I think he's missing the beer and the cheese out there in Brewcrewland, right? And that starting rotation has not missed a beat, right? He's a guy that down in Port St. Lucie was asking for a 7 or 8 year contract extension. As he's due to be a free agent past this season, he doesn't go deep into games, really has been more missed than hit on the year. Braves coming off a strange, wild ninth inning yesterday in which they ended up falling to the New York Mets by a run. But, you know, they win later on tonight. They take 3 of 4 from the series. I'm going to lean on the Braves to bounce back and knock around Freddy Peralta, because that's more so what we have seen from Freddy this year as a New York Met.
I totally agree. Good under spot for me tonight. Just a couple of trends standing out between the Diamondbacks and the Padres. Padres finally get off the schneid, beating the Dodgers yesterday. They go back home with Walker Buehler on the mound, who actually, outside of his last outing, has been really good. Brandon Pfaadt will get the ball for the Diamondbacks. You're looking at two of the best under teams in those situational spots. Arizona 22-18-2 to the under as an away team. And San Diego also advantageous in that spot as a home team. They are 24-19-1 to the under there. Never under when we have Zachary Cohen on the show. He joins us next. All things NBA and Wimbledon. What happened on the women's side? Zach tells us next on VSiN by the Books.